Central Bank announced yesterday evening that its head of enforcement, Peter Oakes, is to leave after 2 years in the job. It's a major blow to the bank and follows on from the departure of the head of bank supervision, Jonathan McMahon, just a few weeks ago. Peter Oakes was responsible for enforcement, and that meant fining banks several million euros. On the line now is John Isle, markets correspondent of the Sunday Business Post. John, very good morning. To lose one executive is unfortunate. To lose another senior executive, it looks like carelessness.
Yeah, I guess in the last year, it is the second major member of Matthew Elderfield's kind of reform team to decide it was time to go. The other one was Jonathan McMahon, of course, who left the central bank in April of last year. And he was really, like Matthew Elderfield's right-hand man. He oversaw the sort of the recapitalization of the bank. So it's kind of his major thing, as well as in part redesigning the bank regulatory system. Now, Peter Oakes was the kind of the sort of sheriff's hard man. He was the one who went out there and mucked in the companies, dug around, found the things that they were doing wrong, and then brought them to book for it. So he really increased the tempo of the enforcement function. I mean, he basically set up a whole new department in there, hired about 75 people, and went out into these companies, big and small, and started throwing fines around. I mean, I was just looking over some of the records since he joined in October of 2010. And he doubled the number of settlement agreements per year and really ramped up the fines. I mean, one example you might be interested in, do you remember Irish Nationwide, right after the guarantee, sent around an email from their London office, basically using it as a form of advertising? They only got a 50,000 euro slap on the wrist for that. If you compare it to the last enforcement action that Peter Oakes' department had to run against Aviva Insurances, there were two separate fines of 1.2 million for a violation, you know, that to my mind was a much more technical nature. So he's really changed the outlook of how enforcement is done in financial regulation in Ireland by raising the level of fines and making a much stronger deterrent factor for making mistakes.
And the central bank has made no apologies for the fact that it is going to be very tough on banks, and that's despite some of the financial industry, particularly in the IFSC, fighting back against them.
That's right. And, I mean, Peter Oakes comes from that kind of IFSC background. You know, he's been a non-executive director on a few boards over the years. But what he really did was change the attitude of the directorate. And back in the old regulator, it was, you know, quite timid, quite differential. There was maybe a spirit of camaraderie between the regulator and the regulated entities. What Peter Oakes has done, really without apology, is come in there very aggressively, didn't regard the regulated entities as his friends, became, I think, an important outside voice. I mean, we haven't mentioned, he comes from Australia. He started his career there as a legal officer with the regulator that oversees the stock market there. He moved on to the FSA in Britain and before coming here and working in a variety of roles, including setting up his own regulatory compliance firm. And what he gained from working in other jurisdictions is he's kind of outside that chummy kind of old boy network that was such a problem here before the financial crisis. And like Jonathan Mann and like Matthew Elderfield and a lot of the important senior hires at the regulator, he has a perspective from another country, and I don't think cares as much what people think of him. And that's helped a lot.
And finally, John, just looking at, I suppose, the top team in the central bank now, do you think there's a danger that perhaps more people and perhaps the ultimate man himself, Matthew Elderfield, is coming close to the end of his reign in Ireland?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is major turnover from the group of people, the group of senior people who had the biggest impact on turning things around at the regulator. The fact that Jonathan McMahon left, we also had the Registrar of Credit Unions, James O'Brien, a youngish guy in the central bank, left in December, and now we've had Peter Oakes. I think Matthew Elderfield is the sort of logical next guy to go. He's been there the longest of all the new people. He's done substantially what he's been asked to do, which is change the reputation of the central bank. He's massively increased the staff, changed its outlook, made it a much more feared and respected organization. And I'd say sometime in the next year, I wouldn't be surprised, let's say, to see Matthew Elderfield move on to a big job in Europe, perhaps in the European Banking Authority, or some new type of regulatory function having to do with the banking union, which is still taking shape. But as things get more clear in Frankfurt at the ECB and in Brussels, there might be some opportunities opening up for him.
Okay, John Oll from the Sunday Business Post, thank you very much. It's 6:53. Time now to have a check on the markets. Peter Brown, founder of the Irish Institute of Financial Trading, is on the line. Peter, a couple of words we're going to hear in the next couple of weeks non-stop is earnings season, and it got underway in the US yesterday with some companies reporting results. How did they do?
Well, kind of a call was kind of one of the main ones, and their outlook for the year is small growth. And I think we're going to see throughout the earnings season, I think we're going to see a pattern that we've seen. Companies doing reasonably well, expecting small growth, worried about the US fiscal cliff. That's the thing that's going to dominate in February. But once we're over that, I think, you know, the US economy is set up for a year of growth, probably 2.5 to 3%. And, you know, the outlook over there is positive. I mean, the central bank over there have got a very strong attitude towards job creation, and they'll keep pouring money into the economy and keep interest rates zero until they see jobs growth.
Markets this week, a little bit nervous. We saw a couple of poor days yesterday. Overnight in Asia, it looks like we're having a little bit of a higher day. I suppose everybody's really waiting on what's going to come out of the European Central Bank and the Bank of England in the next couple of days. Would you be expecting anything at all?
I don't expect anything out of the European Central Bank. I think they're going to hold their line as long as they can. They're not going to lower interest rates, even though they should. I think they're just going to hold their line. They're going to look for the periphery economies to do austerity. You know, they're stuck in stone, unfortunately, unlike their American counterparts. I think we're going to muddle along. The market's quite positive. We have the dynamic of no interest rates. I think that's a very, very important theme that's going to run throughout this year. There is no interest rates to be achieved in the US market, the German market, or the United States market. And if you look at the Irish bond auction yesterday and the massive amount of oversubscription, $7 billion, I think that'll give you a hint that investors are going to have to hunt around the world for a return. You know, the yields that we paid in those bonds yesterday was extraordinarily positive, no question about that, 3.4%. But it's still 3% greater than you can get in Germany, UK, or the US. So there is demand, and that dynamic is very important this year.
Yeah, I mean, how much of yesterday was down to people looking at the Irish economy, or how much of it was down to quite a lot of cheap money, which all these banks across Europe have, given to them by the European Central Bank, looking to find a home and make a bit of a profit?
Well, there's a bit of both. I think credit has to be given where it's due. I mean, you know, 3.32% is a phenomenal improvement. Absolutely. You know, there's no question about it compared to this time last year. Nobody would really have believed we'd have reached this point. So, you know, there has to be credit in terms of where the Irish economy is now perceived in terms of its road to recovery, and that's reflected in the yield. But the amount of demand is definitely a function of the fact that investors have to chase yield somewhere in the world. There's none in America, none in the UK, none in Japan, none in Germany. You know, that's a factor.
And we'll take advantage of it. Peter Brown from the Irish Institute of Financial Trading, thank you very much. That's all we have time for.